Today's daf is Yuma daf Nun Beis, and it is the day that we have all been waiting for, the day that we finally make it into the Kodesh Kodashim. Today, after 50 blotim Maseches Yuma, with a lot of pomp and circumstance and a lot of preparation, today's the day that we make it Nun Beis into the Kodesh Kodashim. Okay, but first we have to get there. We're still on our way in there. So yesterday we had the Mishnah, which said that the Kohen Gadol is on his way in, he goes into the Heichal, and we are discussing the Machlokas. How exactly, which route did the Kohen Gadol take as he went through the Heichal? Did he go all the way on the north side? Because that's where the doorway was. That was Rabbi Yossi Shita. He held there was only one curtain there. Or do you hold like one of the other opinions, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, in terms of going on the north side of the Mizbeach HaZav, on the south side of the Mizbeach HaZav, all different ways of the Kohen Gadol getting there. A ha'ara, that's something that we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, but ha'ara, when Rashi quoted the pasuk yesterday from Divrei Hayamim, where Rashi said that the reason in Bayisheni that they had two curtains instead of having one like they had in the Mishkan, or like they had the Amatraxon in Bayis Rishon, the tall wall, was because they weren't allowed to make the wall any thicker. Because of the pasuk, Hakol Bechsav Miyad Hashem Alai Hiskil, that once the law, once the tzivui was given how to build, you weren't allowed to add anything, right? That was Hakol Bechsav. That sugya comes up in many different contexts. It came up, if you remember, a few weeks ago we discussed the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah, where the Gemara says that's the reason, asked the question about how they were allowed to add on during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the balcony that was built in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, because of the Taroves between the men and the women during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So what about a Kol Bechsav? So the Gemara there deals with it. It was a Tzara Gadol, and Baalei Tosfos in Maseches Zvachim and elsewhere deal with how is one allowed to do that? Isn't that a violation, though? So Tosfos says, if there's a Tzarech d'Oraisa, one would need to do that. That's why our Moshe Feinstein proves from that Gemara that the idea of having a Mechitza between the men and the women is an idea d'Oraisa. The d'Oraisa, because if it wasn't d'Oraisa, you wouldn't be able to have built something and violate, so to speak, a Kol Bechsav. You have to know exactly what the reason for the Daraisa is. Is it, as Ramosha says, the issue of Tarovis itself? That's what he assumes. Against the minority idea of Poskim, that the issue is Re'ia, histakless. Ramosha assumes it's not that. Ramosha assumes the issue is Tarovis. Anyway, that is the one discussion of Hakol Bechsav. The other discussion is in Navi, in Sefer Malachim, when we've spoken about the extra menoros and the extra shulchanos that Shlomo HaMelech built. How can he build extra ones? Do you see how Kol Bechsav only has to do with the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, not to do with the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash? Right? Is that it, or not? So the Mishnah at the end of Chagiga discussed they had extra kalim just in case one got tame, but Shlomo HaMelech didn't use it just in case. He used them. I mean, he actually put them there. Machlokas we had in Shkolim, whether he actually used them all or he just used the one for Moshe Rabbeinu. But that also is a discussion of Hakol Bechsav. Where did we discuss this? Back in the first parak when we discussed the Sorig. We discussed the wooden fence around the Azara, including around the Ezras Nashit. We had the fence going around, and the question that the postgame, the Rishonim, deal with is what was the purpose of that wooden fence? What do you need it for? On a Daraisa level, is there any difference? So the halach is that non-Jews can't go in there, or one or two other people, as the Mishnah is describing Kalim. But the Rush has the line in Maseches Tamid, I think, or Midos, that where the Rush says maybe they did it for Hotzah purposes. In order to make it, you're able to carry within this area, even on a Drabanan level. So it's not a carpe for the hukaf ladira. So that's what we mentioned a few weeks ago. We said, wow, is that enough to violate a Kol Bechsav? So Moshe Feinstein in that Shuvan, Chelek Aleph, Sim Alamites, came up with a chiddush that yes, even on a Daraisa level, there's a difference, in what was in between the inside of the Azara and what was outside of the Azara on a Daraisa level as compared to the Harabite. So Moshe goes through the details. He tries to prove that because he wants to discuss wants to support his chiddush that maybe HaKol Bechsav only applies inside the real Azara, but outside there's no reason of HaKol Bechsav, and that's what he suggests. Maybe there's no Isra of Losita L'cha Asher HaKol Eitz outside, and that's why you're allowed to build a wooden fence around there. Right? Wasn't that an Isra? Either way, that was Moshe related to the Pasuk that we had yesterday. Okay, but now we're towards the bottom of the page. Nun Aleph Amaveis. We are up to Ve'ibayis Ema, second to last line. The Gemara at this point, if you remember, is discussing the Shita of Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir say that the way that the Kohen Gadol goes from east to west is right beneath, right just above, right? Bein Shulchan v'la Mizbeach. Remember, the Shulchan is on the north side, the Mizbeach is, the Menorah is on the south side. So how do you get there? Rabbi Yehuda says you go just south of the Mizbeach, between the Mizbeach and the Menorah. Rabbi Meir says you just go north of the Mizbeach. So why does he say that? So Gemara says if he holds like Rabbi Yossi, that he should go all the way on the north side. Like Rabbi Yossi says, he hugs the northern wall as he goes from east to west. And if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, why doesn't he go like Rabbi Yehuda? To go on the south side of the Mizbeach. So the first opinion was that really holds like Rabbi Yossi, but he doesn't fully hold like Rabbi Yossi because he holds that all the Shulchanos were blocking the way to get there. So he has to go south of the Shulchanos and then swing back up and then go in. Or the Ibayis Ema now, second answer given, Liola Mizrachu Mayre Munachin, really the Shulchanos did not block his way. They were lined up east-west. If he holds like Rabbi Yossi, which we're still assuming, so why didn't he go straight through on the top, on the north side? Umishum Shechina lav orech ara l'me'al lehedya. Because of the Shechina, it is inappropriate. Lav orech ara always means, is it an isser? Is it appropriate? The Gemara says in Megillah, to have a wedding without 10 people there, lav orech ara. Right? It's not so appropriate. It's to realize what's going on here. So here too, it's inappropriate. What's inappropriate here? What's the context of going straight through? Rashi says on top, Lamayo Behedya, Leilich Eitzala Kosla Tzfoni, Kalorach HaHechal, to go straight in, Vikal Sha'a Einav Nizonis Mi Beichadche HaKadashim, Derech HaPrifa Shekenegdo. Rashi Lishitasa, Rashi on yesterday's daf said, actually on yesterday's daf, it's going to be on today's daf. I'm sorry, today's daf, Rashi's going to say Befeir Shem of days, that the way that the north, where there was a curtain, either if there were two curtains, but the curtain that was next to the Kodesh Kadashim, as we said yesterday, everybody agrees, you go in from the north side. That curtain, says Rashi, was folded up. It had a type of pin, and it held up. So if you go on the north side, according to Rabbi Yosef, there was only one curtain there. So there's only one curtain there, and you go on the north side, you look straight ahead, you see into the Kodesh Kadashim. So Rashi says that's inappropriate. You have such a long way where you can look into the Kodesh Kadashim is private. You want to, you have to look inside. When you get inside, fine. But to go straight along the northern wall, we have so much time to look through, that's inappropriate. So even if you're going to go through the north side, Rabbi Meir says that you go across before you get to the north side. Right? You go just north of the Mizbeach, and then you make a right turn to go to the north. And right before you get to the open curtain, that's where you can go through. The Tosas Rid on today's daf argues on Rashi. He says it was open the whole year? According to Rabbi Yossi, they could see into the Kodesh Kadashim the whole year, every day when the Kohen Gadol went into the Avodah, when the Kohen went in to do the Ketores. If they went to the north side, when the Kohanim went every Shabbos to switch the Lechem upon him. So remember, some of them stood on the north side, some of them stood on the south side, and they put the matzahs in. So they were able to see into the Kodesh Kadashim because the curtain was always open. But Rashi doesn't say they only opened it for Yom Kippur. Rashi says, if you want to look on today's daf, on Amid Beis, Rashi already says, V'ne'echezes b'keres shel zahav lios psuchav omedes. Rashi says it on today's daf, on Amid Beis. Sounds like it was always open. So Tosfos Rid says, no, it doesn't mean open. It means like we have a curtain. A curtain is hung across, that you can't get through the curtain normally, it's hung from the top, and at the edge, it was a space that you could push the curtain to the side, and right, you have to use it, his hands were full when he went in, so you got to use his shoulder or his back. But it wasn't constantly open, says the Tosfos Rid. It was just loose. It was loose so you could get in, but it wasn't the dafka open. But Rashi l'shitaso. Rashi says, what's the problem of lav orach ara? That you are going to see, you're going to see straight in as you are going in. Right, the other Rishonim, like the Tosfos Rid, what would he say this means? Maybe it just means you should have to think a little bit. You shouldn't be able to just barge in going straight. Right, go for a different direction. So right when you, before you get to the end, you have to turn and you're focused on what you're about to do. Rav Zilberstein, the Chashuke Chemet here, we have a number of points on today's daf. Sheila, Mishne'ela, I don't think this ever happened, but Mishne'elat lehikanes lemizkach al harabais. Let's throw a pikuach nefesh. Somebody was running for their life, and they ran into, somehow, they ran into the mosque on harabais. Right, usually that is pikuach nefesh. But this is pikuach nefesh, they had a run, and somehow you ended up, maybe a couple hundred years ago. You ran onto a harabais. Are you allowed to look at the Evan HaShasiyah or not? Are you allowed to look at it? Right, the Radvaz writes in a tshuva that he thinks that Evan, the Radvaz was 500 years ago, 1500s. So, the same, lachor, it's the same, right, the hundreds of years this dome has been there. So it's the same rock. So the Radvaz writes there in a tshuva, Ein safik, ki ha-Evan hazos asher tachas ha-kipa, hi ha-Evan HaShasiyah, asher aleha haya aron b'beis kodshei ha-kadashim l'sad mayrif. So the question is, are you allowed to look at it? You're there anyway. So are you allowed to look at it? So, says Rav Zilberstein, the Gemara here says, La varach ara lomeo bahadeh. What does Rashi says? Inappropriate to look at. So does that only mean when the Aron's there, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, or even today? So he assumes Lakula. He says, it wouldn't be a problem just to look at the rock. It's not a kli. And he quotes from his brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shekol Isser Leros has called the Shekalashim Atzmo Rak Durabanan. La varach ara, that most is a Durabanan, and to extend that to other items in the Kodesh Kodashim, he does not think that one would be, it would be a problem. Remember, sometimes some items that was never seen, they were seen sometimes to be machabed, right? They held up the shulchan, if you remember, to show the neis, that the breads were never stale, and it was hot as just like a week ago.
But even this discussion must be talking about during Bayis Sheni, if there's a curtain, in which case there was no
aron. Right, during this discussion is Bayis Sheni, but it was still a functioning Beis HaMikdash. Let me take that back. Not dafka to see the aron, because also you wouldn't be able to see the aron going on the north side. The aron was in the middle, it was more south. So even just to see inside the Kodesh Kodashim at a time when the Beis HaMikdash was functioning. Remember, we had Mishnais earlier, they were quoted in Psachim, about the workers that sometimes used to have to go into the Kodesh Kodashim. They had to be lowered in boxes, and only a little area that you could see outside, only the area that they were going to have to do repairs on, that had to be left open. Other than that, they weren't allowed in. So again, we see that there's an idea of not being knee zone, right? Not seeing, our eyes shouldn't view this area. Okay, some areas are private. So that is the sheet of Rabbi Meir. So he holds like Rabbi Yossi, but he shouldn't go straight through. Rabbi Yossi, what about Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi doesn't think this is a problem. He thinks you can go straight through. There's no issue of lavarach ara. Says Rabbi Yossi, Amar Lacha, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shlo Hitzrichon HaKasuv L'Shliach. Klal Yisrael are very beloved. They don't even need a Shliach. Meaning, seeing in, going straight through, that just shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. In what way? What does this mean? Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel. Rashi says here, this is not talking about Yom Kippur, specifically. That's what makes Rashi's pshat difficult. What does Rashi say? What does it mean? Hashem loves all of us. We don't need a shliach. Each one of us could daven to Hashem. Ela kol echad ve'echad mispalel al atzmo. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Malachim, when Shlomo HaMelech was mechanech beis hamikdash, he quotes a pasuk that everybody could raise their hands to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hilchach chaviv hu shluchan likanis lepumbi. Because we could each daven, so our shliach, the Kohen Gadol, you know, he could go straight through. Right? Basically, that's the idea. We want it to appear comfortable. We want to show that Hashem loves us, and we can see in, we can see straight in. Yeah, that's the point. We are like a ben bias to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having to do with, we have the direct connection every day to Hashem, and therefore we are like a ben bias, so it's okay. We're not worried about that. Which makes it, we'll get back to that pshat of Rashi in a minute, but it makes it somewhat difficult. Ask Rabbeinu Chananel. Ask the Ritva. What does that have to do with Yom Kippur? We're trying to show why Yom Kippur you could go straight through. So the Ritva says, I like Rabbeinu Chananel. Right, the Ritva's question on Rashi first is, Ein zanachon, chada, shaf begoyim ksiv, v'yasisi kachala sheyikri lecha nachri. Rav Shlomo, we're going to talk about more of that in a minute, but Shlomo Melech says, even the non-Jews, ki besi beis tfili kare lechalo amim. So how is this unique, that everybody could daven to Hashem, every person in the world could daven to Hashem. So how is this, chaviv in Yisrael? And number two, va'od ma'in yinzeh l'shmua seinu. What does that have to do with our shmua? So the Rabbeinu Chananel, right here, on the side of the daf, gives a different shot. He says, no, it shows, usually we have to, so to speak, knock before we go in. What does that mean? Usually the Kohen Gadol, whenever he does the Avodah, he's wearing the Me'il. On the bottom of the Me'il, we have the bells, and we have the pomegranates, right? And that's why, v'nishma b'vo'el HaKodesh, whenever the Kohen Gadol moves, his every sound is heard, right? All the Bali Musar talk about that on Pashas Tetzaveh in terms of the message of the Me'il is Machapra and Lashon Hara, right? Every word is recorded, but usually the Kohen Gadol has that. Now he's going in the Big Day Lavan. There are no bells. It's quiet. That's the Chaviv Yisrael. That today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us so much, you could come in without knocking. Just come straight in. Don't worry about it. You don't have to be announced. You don't have to be announced. You have to announce the Kohen Gadol is coming in. No! Go straight in. That's Rabbeinu Chananel right here. Says, Bishoshi Yabal HaKodesh Lubosha Me'il Shehu Keshliach HaMagid Kloma Rotze Likanis Kidach Sivo Yal Aron Lasharis V'nishma Kol Bevo Al HaKodesh V'yachshav V'yom HaKippurim Bevo Lefnai V'lefnim. As I said this at the beginning of the daf, this is the day. We're going in. Lo Hitzrichu Lazeh HaMe'il Leficha Lo Chashin Lo HaTakam Rabbi Yehuda. So maybe it could be, I mean, this is Rabbeinu Chananel. But I don't know, would Rashi say it's only open today? He said it's open. But either way, that's what Rabbeinu Hananel says, that goes straight in. It is the issue of the Me'il. Once we have the Rashi Shita, though, let's mention a moment or two about the Mitzvah of Tefillah. Rashi says, every day we have the chance directly to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so to our Shliach, on the ultimate day of Tefillah, of Yom Kippur, that's how you have to explain Rashi, he could go in also a straight direct connection. Well, you know, there's a very famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about the Mitzvah of Tefillah every single day of the our lives. The Rambam says, davening every single day of our lives is a Mitzvah Saseh Daraisa. Mitzvah Saseh. And even though the Rambam doesn't tell us exactly, he doesn't explain his order in Minyan HaMitzvos, there are clusters of mitzvos in the Rambam. The Sefer HaChinuch goes by Parsha, so we know exactly, we know the order. And other Rishonim have categories. Mitzvah HaTalui B'Lev, Mitzvah HaTalui B'Maisa, the Sefer Yireim has that. The Rambam has clusters of mitzvos, but the first ones obviously are very important. So what are the first mitzvos I say the Rambam has? The first mitzvah is belief in Hashem, Anochi. Second mitzvah is Yichud Hashem. Right, the believing in the oneness of God, Hashem Echad, next to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Those are the first four. So those are all about mitzvahs that we have to feel, that we have to know. Number five, tefillah. The first mitzvah about doing something is davening. That's the Shita of the Rambam. So the Rambam says it's a mitzvah seder araisa to daven every single day. Is it shachris? Is it ma'ariv? Everything, all the details of tefillah, drabanan. How many times, what we have to daven, when we have to daven, that is all drabanan. The only daraisa is the basic structure of shevach, bakasha, and hodah. And doing that once a day, so Rishonim discuss, is the achronim, is that ma'ariv, is that shachris, which is the once a day that we fulfill daraisa. Or do we say they're all daraisa? Meaning once we choose to do it in a three-pronged attack, so to speak, to fulfill the mitzvah, so we're able, we expanded it, it's all daraisa. So the Rambam says this, the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, it's a mitzvah to daven every single day. Mitzvah aseh lispalel b'chol yom, sh'ne'emar v'avatem es Hashem alokeichem, mipi yashmu alamdu, sh'avoda zui tefillah. What is serving Hashem in your heart? That is davening. And that's why he says that the women are chayv in davening too. It's a mitzvah aseh shelo hazman grama. It's not like Kriya Shema. Right, like Chazal understand, b'shash shebnei adam shochvenu, b'shash shebnei adam kamim. No, tefillah is not a zman grama, therefore women have to daven. They weren't mekabel ma'ariv, kechova, like men were. But women have to daven. Mikra din shachris and mincha, the Mishnah Berurah says. Either way, that is the sheet of the Rambam. The Ramban, as is known, argues. The Ramban says, no, there's no mitzvah daraisa to daven every day. Zu avodah shebelev zu tefillah in the sifri is an asmachta. And it's a good idea. It's a chiv derabanan to daven every day. But on a daraisa level, it is just an opportunity. It is not an obligation. It's a great opportunity. You have a meeting every day with the CEO of the world. So every day you should use the opportunity. But that's all it is. But there is an important ha'ara that Reb Chaim had. And that is his Talmud, Emek Bracha, Reb Pramashik asked, how is it, if we say Tefillah D'Rabbanan according to the Ramban, so how do we have Nesias Kapayim Bizman Hazeh? When we have Duchening, Bizman Hazeh. So Duchening on a Daraisa level requires, in the context of Avoda, right, Nesias Kapayim they had in the base of Megdash, and they had, we do Nesias Kapayim in the Bracha of Avoda, right after Ritzei, and then we get into Modim, but in the context of Shemona Esrei, which is Avoda. So, davening is Durabanan, Nesias Kapayim could be Daraisa, in Avoda Durabanan context. So, or, unless we say, well, Duchening today is Durabanan, that's hard to say. So says Reb Chaim, even though the Ramban holds that the chi of da'oraisa, there is no chi of da'oraisa of davening every day, there is a ki of da'oraisa of davening every day. Meaning it's biblically recognized that what I'm doing is a mitzvah, even though I didn't have to do it. Similar to women shaking a lulav. They don't have to shake a lulav. There's no chi of da'oraisa, but there's a ki of da'oraisa. If they shake a lulav, it is recognized, and Ashkenaz's custom is they can even make a bracha on that. So there's many times we have differences between a chiyav daraisa and a kiyam daraisa. So suggested Reb Chaim, quoted in the Emek Bracha, the afla sovereign tefillah derabanan haynu dafka chovas atfilah to mi daraisa leka chiyav lispalel. Aval inyan atfilah havi mi daraisa lekuliyama v'mispalel shaber mekayim mitzvah daraisa u'mikri avoda. And therefore, that is the context of Nesias Kapayim on a daraisa level. Again, tefillah is. We've had shiurim about this in the past. We'll see if there's time. Maybe we might really have time today at the end to get back to some ideas in Yonei Tefillah. Okay. But again, the Ritva gave the other pshat of the, quoting Rabbi Hananel, in terms of the Me'il. In terms of the Me'il. We continue. Says the guy, maybe we'll just mention the other Chashuk HaChemed once it's open. He says, He had a shaila once. Somebody asked him, somebody was by the Kotel, and there was a non-Jewish tourist that came to the Kotel and saw this Jew davening and said, gave him money, and he said, can you please daven for me? You have a special connection to this God, and maybe it's all of our gods. He says, could you please daven for me? That was his question. Are you allowed to daven for a non-Jew at the Kotel? And he could even daven for a Nachri or for a Yisrael Chaveiro. Is there adifus? Is there adifus, he discusses. So, goes through, lemaisa lemaisa, if the guy made his whole trip, and he came to the Western Wall, and he's here, he believes also, right? He believes something, whether he might believe in Shituf or other things as well, which is a discussion whether non-Jews are mitzuva in Shituf. But Mistama, it's fine, Tzadike, Umos HaOlam, and therefore it's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And Shlomo HaMelech quoted all the psukim that is a basi beis fili yikare, even though that only means direct for them, not through us, but we're allowed to accept karbanos, right, of karbanos ola they're allowed to bring. He doesn't quote this, but yesh makom lahakel in this case. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda, Naminei Bei Menorah LaKosel. Rabbi Yehuda, now get into Rabbi Yehuda Shita. What was he? He said you go on the south side of the Mizbeach Azav, between the Mizbeach and the Menorah, in order to get there. And then, why? Because he says, let's say, two curtains. You're going to go into the south curtain first, and then go up and go into the north curtain. So ask the Gemara. So why don't you just say, why doesn't he hug the south wall? Rabbi Yehuda, Naminei Bei Menorah LaKosel. Why do you go in the middle and then go down? Why don't you hug the south side? Meshach Remanei. His clothing will get dirty. His clothing will get black. The wall is a little blackened from the fire of the menorah that is right next to that side, but the Mizbech Azov is in the middle. Doesn't blacken any walls. But the menorah is next to the wall, a couple amos away, and therefore the walls are black. If he rubs his begadim against the wall, it'll be black, and then you'd have to get new begadim each time. So he does not do that.
Would this be Samech, the idea of the menorah being parallel to the wall because you have more
Leros? So, I'm saying, would it be parallel to the wall if you have it? I don't think it's a raya either way. Yeah, even if it's parallel to the wall and not perpendicular, you know, I think there was some space, and according to either Shita, you know, the candles that are either all the candles or at least one candle was pretty close. And therefore, but either way, it might have fire. So every day could have blackened the walls. I'm Rabbi Nassim. I'm a Traxin, Loikriyabo Chachamim. Getting back to what the Mishnah discussed. The Amatraxin, the wall in between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim in Bayis Rishon. So the Chachamim were not clear whether that wall was considered inside or outside. So what exactly does this statement mean of Rav Nassan? Maskevah Ravina, my taima. What's the reason and what exactly does it mean that they weren't sure that it was what it was? So Ilema, was it the first option is going to be, they weren't sure whether it was built inside the dimensions of the Heichal or of the Kodesh Kadashim. That's the first suggestion, which we're going to reject. But that's the first suggestion. Does Rav Nassan mean that they didn't know where to build it? And the Gemara is going to reject that and say that's not true, because you could build it mamish in between, not in either dimensions. So let's see. Ilema mishim dechziv, is it because the pasuk says in Malachim, v'habayis asher bana hamelech Shlomo l'Hashem, shishim ama arko, v'esrim rachbo u'shloshim ama kamaso, the bayis that Shlomo HaMelech built, the inside, was 60 long, 20 wide, north, south, and 30 high, v'ksiv v'arba'im ba'ama hoya habayis hu, ha'hecho lefanai, 40, viksiv v'lefnei hadvir, esrim ama orech, the esrim ama rocha, the esrim ama komaso, and the dvir, the actual inside, was 20 by 20 by 20, right, so v'lo yadinan, and so basically we have all the dimensions of the heichal of the Kodesh Kadashim, and Rav Nassan and the Rabbanan Safik was as follows, v'lo yadinan amatraxin, imehani esrim, v'imehani arbaim, was it in the 20 of the Kodesh Kadashim, was it in the 40 of the Heichal, of the Ol Moed, was that their suffix? That can't be, why? V'dilma, lo mehani esrim, v'lo mehani arbaim. Maybe it was neither. Maybe it was not counted. V'chalala kachashiv, koslim lo kachashiv. When the dimensions are given, they're only counting the open space. They're not counting the thickness of the wall. So, maybe there shouldn't be a suffix. It wasn't counted in either one. So, is that that can't be the suffix of the Rabbanan. And the Gemara even says, Teda, I'll prove it to you that there's elsewhere that we have the walls are not counted. To call Hecha, to call Chashev, Koslim, Chashev, Leladidei. Wherever the walls are counted, so they are counted separately. They are not counted as the space in the open space. The Mishnah says in Maseches Midos, when we go through the entire area, HaHechal Meya Almeya Barum Meya. The Hechal is 100 by 100, Barum Meya with the height altogether, including the second floors, altogether of 100. If you look at the Mefarshim on Mishnayos, if you look in the Tiferes Yisrael, the Tosfos Yontav on Mishnayos, there in Midos, don't take this so literally. Meaning the entire, if we think of the Hechal, it wasn't a perfect square. The ulam was wider than what was behind it. It was a T. It wasn't a square. So, lav dafka, that this is 100 by 100 by 100, doesn't really mean, maybe the front of it was. But as you went further west, it got skinnier, and it was a T. So, don't take this line so literally. That's how Rov Rishonim and Mefarshim assume the shape was. That's why in all the pictures, it's a T. The ulam is wider than what was behind it. So, ha-hechal, mea al mea burumea, and now we go through. Kosel ulam chamesh. If you now we're going from east to west, it's going to add up to 100. Kosel ulam chamesh, the wall of the ulam going in was 5 width. V'ha ulam achas esrei, and then the ulam was 11, that's 16. Kosel ha-hechal shesh. Then the next wall between the ulam and the hechal was another 6, that's 22. V'arko arbaim ama, and then the length of the hechal itself is 40 amos. V'ama troxin, and the ama troxin, heads its name. L'chaf ama, base kachi akadashim, and the kodesh kadashim was 20 amos wide, deep. Kosal hechal sheish, and the wall behind the kodesh kadashim on the west side was 6 amos width. V'ateh sheish, and the locker rooms and the other offices behind were another 6. V'kosal ateh chamesh, and then 5 altogether was 100. So you see, what do you see from the Mishnah? The thickness of the walls are not counted within this airspace in between. So too here. That's what we should say by the Amatroxin, and therefore that wouldn't be a suffix for the Rabbanan. The suffix can't be where it was built. Was it built within the dimensions of the Kodesh Kadashim or within the dimensions of the Heichal? Why? Because the answer is it was built in between. It wasn't in dimensions of either. It was in between. So it can't be a reality suffix. It has to be a halachic suffix. What's the halachic suffix? Ela kedushase, ikalafnim ikalachutz. The suffix was, you're right, it was in between. But now, by Yesheni, we don't have the wall. So Lamaisa was that space, does it have the status of Kodesh Kadashim? Does it have the status of Kodesh? That was the question of the Rabbanan. Vahainu, and that's exactly the same suffix that the Rabbi Yochanan says as well. Vahainu dam Rabbi Yochanan, boy Yosef Ishutzal. Rabbi Yochanan says that Yosef Ishutzal had the same kind of suffix based on the pasuk there in Malachim. V'dvir besocha bayis mipinima. Here the word dvir, Rashi points out, means the mechitza itself. Sometimes you have different words that can mean different things in different contexts. Sometimes dvir means the Kodesh Kadashim. Sometimes it means, right, the dvir hakodesh. And sometimes here it means the mechitza. Or the word Ariel. The word Ariel in Navi. Sometimes it means Yerushalayim, if I'm correct. Sometimes if it means the Mizbeach. The Ariel is called the Mizbeach. Sometimes it might mean parts of the Beis HaMikdash. So different words based on context. The word Lefnei Hashem. The word Lefnei Hashem, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, can mean three things in the Torah. Sometimes Lefnei Hashem means you have to shech kachim Lefnei Hashem. What does that Lefnei Hashem mean? On the north side of the Mizbeach. Sometimes Lefnei Hashem means Yerushalayim. You have to eat kachim kalim Lefnei Hashem. So that's in all Yerushalayim. Sometimes Lefnei Hashem means in the Heichal, Lefnei Hashem. Right? Zrikas Adam, Lefnei Hashem. So the words, the phrase Lefnei Hashem. So how is that? By the Lefnei Hashem, let me just talk about this last one. Because the Mechayiv of all of these Kedushos flows from the inside. Flows from the Kodesh Kodashim and radiates out. Radiates out. And that's where Hassel Rosh Soloveitchik explained the difference between Kedusha Rishona and Kedusha Shnia. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBechira that the Kedusha Rishona was lo kitcha la'asel lavo. When they went in, right, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, it was batel afterwards. Once they went into Galus. Kedusha Shnia was kavua because it was based on kibush they went in. The Kedusha of Yerushalayim and Harabayis, that's forever. But the Kedusha of the rest of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha Rishona was batel, and Kedusha Shnia was not batel. And the Rambam says, why? Because the Kedusha Rishona was based on kibush, conquering, so once you are reconquered, so then you lose the Kedusha. The second one was based on chazaka. Chazaka, settlement, and because it was based on settlement, so that's why it lasted. So all the Mefarshim discuss, what's the difference? The Kesef Mishnah says, I don't understand the difference. In Hilchos Beis HaBechira. I don't know what the difference is. Why should Chazaka be greater than Kibush? So one suggestion is, or Soloveitchik in one, he has a couple of different contexts where he talks about this, but one is that, if you think about the different Kedushos, the first one, when Yeshua went in, the Kedusha was going from out to in. They were bringing the Aron, up until all the way to the time of David and Shlomo, it was from out to in. It started out, and they got closer and closer and closer and closer, until they got to Yerushalayim, and then the Kedusha started. But the second Kedusha was just the opposite. First they came in, they came back in, they started building the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Kedusha radiated out. So that type of Kedusha, radiating out from, there was no Aron in Bayis Sheni, as we mentioned, but there was Kedushas, Kodesh Kedashim, Vichulu, so that radiated out, and that Kedusha, that's what he means by Chazaka, that's a part of the Chazaka element, and that lasts. And that lasts. And that's how you can have Lifnei Hashem, three different areas called Lifnei Hashem. Because that root, it starts with the Kedusha of the Shekhinah in the middle, and then it radiates out. So here too, Dvir. So here, Dvir means the Mechitza. Says the Pasuk, V'dvir besoch habayis mipnima. The Dvir in the Bayis, mipnima, from the inside. That's going to be the crucial word. We don't know what that word means. Heichim l'sitan sham es aron bris Hashem. It's put there so you can make a place to put the aron. Ibailuhu. So the question that Yosef Ishutzal asked was, Heichi kamakra, what does the Pasuk mean? V'dvir besoch habayis mipnima, heichim l'sitan sham? O dilma hachi kamar, v'dvir besoch habayis mipnima, period. In other words, Rashi explains, do you read the word mipnima with the first half of the pasuk or the second half of the pasuk? Did the dvir, which was the actual mechitza, did it have the status of outside, heichal, or did it have the status of inside, kodesh kadashim? The exact same suffix that Rav Nassan quotes that the Rabbanan have is the suffix that Yosef Ish Hutzal had in giving pshat in the pasuk in Sefer Malachim. Good. Says the Gemara, Mimasaf Galei, really, did Yosef Ish Hutzal have a suffix about this pasuk? Really? V'hatanya, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Isi ben Yehuda says, Chamesh Mikros Batar Eilan Hechra. There are five words in the Torah that are unanswerables. They're the psukim that don't have answers. You have a word in the Torah, and you don't know what it is modifying. And those five words are, Se'es. Where's Se'es from? By Kain and Hevel. Hashem tells Kayin, Im teitiv se'es. If you do well, se'es. V'im lo teitiv, lapesach hadas roveitz. So what's the suffix about se'es? Do you read the word se'es with the previous phrase? Im teitiv, if good, if you do tshuva se'es, then we will be able to forgive. I will bear your sin, I will carry your sin, and you'll be forgiven. V'im lo, or do you read it with the, right, say, right, you don't read it. Im teitiv, if you do well, fine. But if not, se'es, and you carry your sin forever, so then it's not going to be good. So we don't know how to read that. Or mishukadim, that's the pasuk in Shmos describing the menorah. And we don't know if mishukadim is modifying the gevi'im mishukadim, or what's following the kaftoreha ufracheha, the different parts of the menorah. Or machar, what's machar? Machar, the end of Bishalach. Sehi lachem ba'amalek machar. Go fight, Yeshua is told, amalek machar, fight tomorrow. Today, prepare and fight tomorrow. Or, Tzei Lachem Bamalek, fight with Amalek today. Machar Anochi Nitzav. Tomorrow I'm going to daven for you. Again, where does that word go? Machar. Arur. Arur is by the brachos, if you could call them brachos, by Patin Parshas Vayechi. Ubird Sonam, Ikru Shar. Arur Apam. Ki Az. So is Yaakov Avinu, like Rashi says, Arur Apam cursing their anger? Or is it going on the previous Ikru Shor Arur? They uprooted a cursed ox, that means Shechem. The Shimon and Levi uprooted that, so Arur also. Or Vekam, the last word is Vekam, as the Pasuk says all at the end, in Parshas Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu says that he is going to die, Vekam, is Vekam going a remez to Tchias HaMesim, I'm going to die, but then he's going to be raised up, or is it the next line, Vekam, and the Bnei Yisrael will get up and do Avodah Zarah after I die. Right, so five words in the Torah that you don't know how to read these psukim. Tosfos ponders and wonders why they're not written in order. Tosfos wonders why these five psukim are out of order. Right, the real should have said Se'es and then Arur. Arur is in Vayechi. And then Machar is in Beshalach, and Mishu Kadim is in Tetzaveh, right? The in Truma. So why they're out of order, Tosa just leaves that as a tema. Tosa then says, why sometimes you find in Shas, we darshan words both ways. With darshan lefneim ulacharehem. But Tosa says you can't do that here. Because here, darshan and gilefneim ulacharehem sometimes are opposite. Opposite. It's not just different. Not just different ways, but there you find opposite, and that's why Tosfos says if you go through these, ein pirusham shave, al karchach ein lahem hecher. So you have the problem. So anyway, you have these five. So there's nothing else on this list. The Hatanya, who Yosef Ishusal, who Yosef Ababli, who Isi ben Yehuda, who Isi ben Gur Aryeh, who Isi ben Gamliel, who Isi ben Mahalalel. It's all the same person. Umashmo, Isi ben Akiva Shmo. Why do they have all these names? Okay, nicknames. But you see, Yosef Ishutzal is the same as the person who said this statement, Isi ben Yehuda. So how do you mean he has a suffix about a pasuk in Malachim? It says here there are only five dvarim, words she'en lahem achra. And we'll get back to it in a minute. Let's just finish. Says the Gemara, bidda oraisa leka bidinevi'i leka. Ika. I mean, in the Torah, these are the five. You're right, there are more in Navi. But these are the ones in the Torah. Ubidaraisa leka, there aren't any other sfeikos in the Torah. V'ha'ika debayi Rav Chisda. What about Rav Chisda at the end of Parshas Yisro? In Matan Torah, take two. Vayishlach as Na'are b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Moshe Rabbeinu, sent the Na'are, who he says at that point were the firstborns. They were the ones doing the Avoda. And he sent them to bring karbanos. Vaya'alu olos. Right, that's the pasuk. So what are olos? We say kvasim. That can mean sheep. Vayizbechu zvachim shlamim. That means parim, right? Because that's what the pasuk says. Lashem parim. So do we say that the first, the olos was kvasim, and the shlamim were parim? Odilma, idividi parim. What do we say? The word parim are going back even on olos. So you see, Rav Chisda had that suffix too about that word. So the Gemara says, Rav Chisda misafkalei isi ben Yehuda pshitalei. Isi ben Yehuda knew the answer to that. That he didn't have as a suffix. A couple of important ha'aris. That is number one. The Ritva here notes that there's only a suffix before we have Tamei HaMikra. The Gemara here is talking about there's only a suffix before we have Tamei HaMikra. Once we have what we call Trup, so then there's no more suffix. But that's what the Ritva says here. Nira Pirusha, She'ein Lan Hechra Miloshen Atevos. All that Isvin Yudah means, if you read the words, you don't know the pshat. Kol hecha deleka psuke dekroi o hefsik ta'amim. De'ilo hashta, dika lepsuke dekroi, behefsik ta'amim nisparas feiko. Because now that we have Tamei HaMikra are ta'amim. Ta'amim means explanations. So that is the pshat of the Ritva. The Marsha says maybe if you use the Ritva, they knew the ta'amim, but over time, we forgot some of them. And therefore, some of these psukim might be read in any case. But that is So the Mesorah, the Gemara says that Tamim are at least from Ezra HaSofer. At least from Ezra, maybe even earlier. At least from Ezra HaSofer. If you look in the Encyclopedia Talmudis under Tamei HaMikra, pages and pages. Kedar HaBakodesh, it has 10 pages, and then in the back it has a nispach to all going through each of the Tamim. But going through, again, the basic ideas, there are two types of Tamei HaMikra. Two types. There are the connectors and there are the mafsikim. The mafsikim and the machabrim or the masharsim. Those are every Tam HaMikra. Right? He quotes all together. There are, and all the Tam HaMikra, he notes, we have Tam HaMikra for every Sefer in Tanakh. And it's all the same rules and regulations except for the Sifrei Emet. Except for Eov, Mishlei, and Tehillim, they have separate tamim and separate types of rules. But besides that, there are different tunes that we use for Megillas Esther, for Navi, and for Torah. But it's basically the same tamim. But that is, we have the two types of tamim. We have tamim mafsikim, which are Mora al Hefsik, being Kriyas Mila Zula, Kriyas Mila Shachareha, which the ultimate is Sof Pasuk, and the next level down is Esnachta, and then, yeah, you have the different levels, and Tamim Mechabrim, Vim Kriya Misharsim, Hamorim al Chibur Shal Kriyas Mila Zula, Mila Shachareha. Right, so there are some that connect, and the Kedarka Bakoda, it goes through here, that we have all of the Tamim, we have 18 Tamim Mafsikim, he goes through, and we have 9 Tamim Mechabrim. And he goes through each one. So Pasuk Asnachta Segel Shalshela Zakev Katan Zakev Gadol Tipcha. And if somebody wants to look more at each of these and what each of them means, feel free to look here. This is in the 20th volume in Chelechaf in the Encyclopedia Talmudis. Lamaisa, Lamaisa, we paskin, obviously lechadchila, one has to read with the ta'amim, but b'di'eved, if one messed up on the ta'amim, so the general minhag, quoted in Shulchan Aruch, is not to go back. Not to go back. Even though not saying the right ta'amim does change the meaning of the sentence, if I break in the wrong spot, but only if I change the nekudos, and I change the word, and it means something different, that's what we correct on. Rav Chaim is quoted as he went back even for the ta'amim ha-mikra. He felt it was so such a strong Masora that we have to go back for the Ta'amim. But that's the Ritva right here. Mestama, for surely a Sof Pasuk. Surely a Sof Pasuk. He would go back even for the Mercha Tibchas, right, and the wrong. But Lomaisa, Gaboim today, do not have to worry about that. Again, Lechadchila, it should be done. I saw also one of the Bali Musar say, Machar. Machar is the Suffolk about Amalek. Why is Dafka Machar about Amalek? Amalek always has the attitude of Machar. Do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. That's what Amalek's about. You have an idea? Push it off. Procrastinate. Don't get it done. Amalek's all about Machar. Right? Similar to what we mentioned a number of years ago in a Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. The Gemara says in Shabbos Teches, about Maimon Har Sinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu holds the mountain over our head, Kavalem Har Kagigas, and says, I'm going to make you an offer that you can't refuse. If you accept the Torah, wonderful. V'im lav, sham teik v'raschem. And everybody asks, Vimlav poteik furaschem. Can't take furaschem. Here, what do you mean, sham take furaschem? Many different shatim given. But one of them is, if you accept the Torah and you're inspired now and you want to do it now, wonderful. Vimlav, and if not, sham. The attitude of sham. I'll do it then. I'll do it later. Take furaschem. That's going to be it. That's going to be the burial. That's the end of Klal Yisrael. If you're inspired now, do it now. If not, sham. The attitude of sham. It's exactly the same thing here. Machar. I'm always all about machar. So that is the... That is the end. Okay. Says the Mishnah. Hachitzona ha'isaprufa min adarom u'pnimiz min atzafon. Going with the shita that we had before that holds there were two curtains. The outer one was open, as we mentioned, machlokas rashi tosas rid, actually open or just loose from the south. U'pnimiz min atzafon, and the inner one from the north. Mahalech b'neim, here we go. Achimigil atzafon. Until we get, it has to be exciting. Right, atzafon, we come to the north. Migil atzafon, hofi ponav adarom. We're in. Right when you come into the Kodesh Kadashim, he makes a left and starts going south. He doesn't go diagonal. He starts going south, now hugging the inside of the curtain. Mahalech l'smolo, and he goes to the south of the curtain. So he goes first to the south, and then to the north, and then he goes in. Ima paroches, achu magil la'aron, until he comes across from the aron, and he gil la'aron, and then he comes to the aron, he's about to do the avoda. But just one point beforehand, the Ben Yoyada says, why do we say that he has to go first south, and he goes north? South, as the Gemara says elsewhere, south is the menorah that symbolizes chachma, chachma satora. North is shulchan, symbolizes gashmias. So we need both, and we're going to daven for both! But first you go by the menorah. First we go by the menorah, and then we go by the shulchan, and then we go to the Aron, because the ultimate balance between our Ruchnius and our Gashmius, our Ruchnius being first and primary, so then we go to the Aron, everything's balanced, that is the ultimate. Ben Yehoyada, take home Ben Yehoyada right here. So, Higia la'Aron, so he comes to the Aron, what does he do? Notes, and it's a machta ben shnei abadim, he puts down the machta, right, that's in his right hand, it's heavy, he puts it down on the floor in front of the Aron, between the two badim. And then, he does that very difficult avoda with the ktoras, trying to make sure that he pours it, right, assuming that you have a second chafina, inside he's got to pour it back into his hands, and then he's going to put it onto those coals. Sabar es ha'ktoras al-gabi gechalim, he puts the ktoras onto the coals, v'nismali kalavayas kulo ashan. And the entire area, the entire room, fills with smoke. As we go badafka against what the tzdukim said to do that outside, we do it inside. Good. Why does this line have to be mentioned here? Nismali kolabayas kulo ashan. One of the achronim in the back, the Cheshek Shlomo says, of course it fills with ashan. I have to know that. You know, you put ketores on the coals. It fills with ashan. Says the Cheshek Shlomo, no. It's a raya to the Rambam. The Rambam has a line in Hilchot Avodas Yom Kippurim that the Kohen Gadol has to wait inside until the bayis is malei ashan. Right? He can't just pour it and run out. He has to wait there. So the Cheshek Shlomo assumes he gets it from this Mishnah. That's why the Mishnah says it, because that's the That's part of the avoda. Part of the avoda. Reb Chaim also, Reb Chaim in the Gracha Lasha Simen Nun Zayin says, what is the end of the avoda? Reb Chaim says, and it's not just the din in Yom Kippur. Reb Chaim says, whenever a Kohen does avoda, he can't just do the act and leave. He has to wait until the avoda is done. So for example, let's say you stop time. Let's say a Kohen is doing the Zrikas Adam on the Mizbeach. He's Zorek the Dam. Is he allowed to turn around and leave before the blood hits the Mizbeach? No. What if he's maktir, certain evarim? Says Reb Chaim, you always have to stay until the avoda is done. So what's the avoda being done called by the Ktoras? That's what he says the chiddush is. The bayis nismale ashan, that is the avoda of the day. Gvar maisa avoda ktoras ad shi yismale abayis ashan haktoras. Umakar lazeh, and that's our mission, that's the pasuk. V'chisa anan haktoras esakaporas. That's describing the avoda, and that's what has to be done. Viter yatsa uvalo baderach beis knisaso. He goes out, and the same way he comes in. What does that mean? He goes out backwards. Goes out backwards because you don't want to turn your back to the aron. Go out backwards. That's covered. The bottom Tosfos says, and even though we normally say bia me achorav lav shma bia, if you'd walk in backwards, it's not called going in. You have that rule by a bias hamenuga. And anytime you need an entrance, going in backwards is not called going in. But here, going out is called going out when you go backwards. Going out is okay. Yitzia me achorav shma yitzia. Even though knisa me achorav is lav shma knisa. That's the ha'arav tosis. Oh, misfala tefila katsara bebeis achitzon. Now when he goes out, he says a short tefila in the beis achitzon. But he says a short tefillah. He doesn't want anybody to be scared to think that something happened inside the Kodesh Kadashim. What does it mean, Beis Achitzon? What does it mean, Beis Achitzon? Rashi says it means Heichal. It means in the Heichal. Right? Nobody was in the Heichal at the time. That was empty, if you remember. The Tzemach Ronim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in Brachas Daf Lamed says, no, it was between the curtains. How do you know that? Remember the Gemara in Brachas Daf Lamed, it says, wherever you are in the world, you have to daven towards Eretz Yisrael. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you daven towards Yerushalayim. If you daven to Yerushalayim, you daven towards Harabais. If you're on Harabais, you daven towards the Kodesh Kadashim. If you're in the Kodesh Kadashim, you daven towards the Aron. When are you ever in the Kodesh Kadashim and davening? Asked Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Brachas Daf Lamed. When are you ever in? The Kohen Gadol goes in once. If he doesn't have Avodah, when is he davening? It must be this Tefillah Katsara, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden. But it says he went out right afterwards. So it must be between the curtains, which has the Kedusha of Kodesh Kedoshim. Says that's what it must be talking about against Rashi here. But again, Rashi has to figure out, what does that Gemara mean? If you happen to be in the Kodesh Kedoshim, davening. When is anybody ever in the Kodesh Kedoshim? So he says that Gemara, Brachas Daf Lamed, it shows that it's got to be at least in between the curtains. Great diuk of Rabbi Yaakov Emden on that Gemara, Brachas Daf Lamed, Abad Aleph. Okay, but Maya Skinon, which Beis HaMikdash are we talking about here? Right, our Gemara mission is a problematic. Why? It talks about two curtains and it talks about the Aron. That's the problem. Ilema b'mikdash rishon, miyavi paroches. If it's mikdash rishon, did it have a paroches? Did it have a paroches? Ela b'mikdash sheni. Miyavi aron? Right, mimanafshach, there's a problem here. Bahatanya, we learned earlier at the end of the first parak, but also here, mishnignas aron, nignaza imo. The aron was hidden away much earlier. Nignaza imo, and put away with it, was vitzinsenes hamon, vitzlochas shemen ha-mishcha. The bottle of Shemana Mishcha, Umaklo Shel Aaron, Ushkateha, Ufracheha, the staff of Aaron, the Argaz, Sheshigro, Plishtim, Doron, Alakei Yisrael, and the box that the Plishtim sent back. When they send the Aaron back, they send all these special golden presents to Am Yisrael, because they were very scared. Shneamar, Uchle Azov, Asher Ashivosim Lo, Asham, Tasimu, Ba'argaz, Mitzido, Ushalachtem, Osova Halach. Umiganazo, and who hid the Aron? Yoshio Ganazo, right, way before the Churban. Ma Rasha Ganazo, Rasha Kasuv, Yolech Hashem Oschav Esmatel Chasher Takem Alecha. He saw that a king was going to take away the Kalim, and we're going to go into Galus, and Amav Ganazo, and he hid it. Shneimar Vayomer Levim Hamivinim Lachol Yisrael Hakadoshim Lashem. He said to the Levim, Tnu Es Aron Hakodesh Bavayitz Asher Bana Shlomo Ben David Melach Yisrael. Put the Aron into the house, even though it was already in the house. So the put must be somewhere else. Must be, hide it. Ein lechem masa b'kasiv, you will no longer have the job of carrying it. Ata ivdu es Hashem alokeichem es Am Yisrael. Go serve the Jewish people. Right? Which means that no longer the Aron. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, asya shama shama, v'asya doro doros, v'asya mishberes mishberes. That just means, those three gzeirah shavas mean, Rashi explains, how all the other items were also hidden away with the Aron. Right? The tzitzenes haman and the makla shel aron. Lamaisa, the question is, you see the aron did not exist in Bayis Sheni. It was underneath. So how? What do you mean? He put the machtab down, right? Something has to give here. Two curtains and Aron. So Gemara says you're right. The olam b'mikdash sheni. We're talking about bayis sheni with the two curtains. Umai higia la Aron makam Aron. It means the place where the Aron was. V'hok tani nasan as a machtab l'bein shnei abadim. Ema k'bein shnei abadim. It just means where the Aron used to be. Good. Just one final point. Not the specifically related, but the last Chashukei Chemed of the day, he talks about Tfila Kitsara here. Tfila Kitsara. So he talks about people always trying to get through davening quickly. If there are two minyanim in town, and I know one of them has a chasin, and it's a Monday or a Thursday, am I allowed to have a dafka go there because I don't want to say tachnun? Or, if I don't usually go there, you know, is that inappropriate? So he says, 100% it is inappropriate. To dafka go to a place and always find out where the chassan's davening. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, Tov li zayir. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, a chassan shouldn't even go to shul. Tov li zayir, shal yikanis hachassan lebeis haknesses, kol zayin yimei mishta, shenimnoen lomar tachnan bavuro. Amnam yeshchokin, some say not, and lamaisa, if a chassan wants to go, he can go. But want us to know that, you know, the Prima Gadim writes that they used to throw the chassanim out of shul because they wanted to say tachnun. Right? Ben Yonenu, he says, if you're davening there, you know, Churban Yerushalayim, you have to realize that this is terrible. He says, or she quotes Rav Shradron, who says, who wants to get out of crying for the Beis HaMikdash, davening for your sins, davening for the Geula? He said, this is terrible. He says, we always want to, you know, be machlis ourselves. He says, if you love the chassan, and you daven there always, and you want to be mesameachim, and you're besimcha with him, okay. But to dafka, you know, do that, he says it's inappropriate. And again, this relates to the larger issue that tachnun ain la mazel, right? Out of all the tefillahs, probably tachnun has the least mazel. And the Posim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, is quoted in many sfarim. If you're in a shul that's not saying tachnun for an inappropriate reason, say tachnun. It's not called perish menatzibur. They're going against halacha. You don't have to scream about it. You don't have to say everybody's wrong. But a person should say tachnun themselves. There's a Rashi at the end of Yevamos that says on the yard side of a tzaddik, they used to learn at his kever. And the language of the Gemara is they made a regel, meaning to go to his kever. So that's why some say, oh, it's a regel, it's a yantiv, no tachanun on the yard side. That's it. That's the only source. There's Rashi on the last daf in Yevamos. So it's very, very tricky. Even though many, many, many follow it, one has to really have a mesorah in that circumstance, but it's really not in the sources, not to say tachanun. The Gaonim said tachanun on Purim. Right? It's not on Purim because it's a day of tefillah, day of tefillah. And one has to be careful. Again, there's a lot to discuss in the world of tachanun. Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes in Halicha Shlomo, what happens if a shul didn't say tachanun because they thought there was a reason and they came out there wasn't a reason afterwards? Right? They thought there was a bris later in the shul. Shlomo Zalman says, you put the Torah away and you say tachanun after laning. You say tachanun after laning if you made a mistake. What? It should be after Shemona Esrei. But you say tachanun after laning. And one other ha'ara, and that is, well, the day of the chassan, day of the wedding, you don't say tachanun. So many don't realize this. If the wedding's going to be after Shkia, so then that morning is not his wedding day yet. So you still say tachanun there. It's only the next day. It's only if he's getting married before Shkia, if it's a daytime wedding. If it's a morning wedding, you know, many have the extension. Again, that's already an extension. But that's what Shlomo Zalman says right here in Halicha Shlomo. If the wedding's going to be after Shkia, then one should be careful. Okay, a lot more about Tachanun. Not for now. We should continue. Again, Rabosa, keep in mind, I want to thank everyone who's been at the end of the secular year, you know, being Mosif and partnering in our building campaign as we try to create a new home for the Daf. Let's remember everybody else in our OU Daf listening world wants to participate anytime, especially in the last couple of days here. Feel free to go to nofeihashemesh.com or .org and join in our mitzvah.